Welcome to Dollars and Cents, the program that tries to help your dollars make a little more sense. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. And it is always a pleasure to talk with Dr. Jamil Wright. She is, of course, the president of Eureka College. And she just got through being the keynote speaker at a Pathways to Success event that was held at the Paradise, sponsored by NABO and WILL. NABO is short for the National Association of Women Business Owners, and WILL, short for Women in Leadership. Hey, thanks for stopping by the studio.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been a while since I've talked with you.
It has. It has been way too long.
A lot has happened, and let's catch up on some things that have made the headlines as far as colleges and universities are concerned. The big thing that comes to my mind is the Supreme Court decision regarding affirmative action. Mm-hmm. I didn't get your thoughts on that at the time. We talked to a number of other African-American educators. What are your thoughts?
You know, so specifically, I'll tell you, from a professional standpoint, Eureka College doesn't use race in our decisions for admission. So from a college standpoint, a Eureka College standpoint, it didn't have a direct impact on us. Having said that, for many of us, and personally myself, there are many ways in which we benefited, that I benefited, I'm sure, from programs that were in place, from scholarship opportunities and other resources that were in place. So I think there's some level of disappointment on my part, personally, that I experienced. Now, I don't know that I was overly surprised. I think for a lot of us in higher education, we have been forewarned that this may be coming down the pipeline pretty soon. So it wasn't a shock to our system. I think we had a lot of time to brace for it and to engage in some conversations within the industry before the decision actually came down the pipeline.
I think some people were profoundly disappointed because one of the justices, Clarence Thomas, had earlier in another phase of his life written that he had benefited from affirmative action.
Absolutely. Yep. So when you have that, I think you wonder, you wish that when people ask you that question about somebody you'd like to talk to under the cherry tree, you know, you identify certain people who you'd love to ask those burning questions of. What changed? Mm-hmm. What changed? What made your perspective, you know, kind of move from to a 180 from where you were to where you ended up when you actually had the power and influence to make a decision, and one that's a lasting decision.
The ramifications, some people are saying one thing that they immediately noticed was there was a drop, and I think the data is still being formulated as to the impact, but a drop in the number of African-American students attending colleges and universities, majority culture colleges and universities, but a slight uptick in the number of Black students going to HBCUs.
Absolutely. And I think some of the uptick in the HBCU student enrollment actually occurred during the election and campaign of Vice President Harris. There was a lot of good that she did in being the face of HBCUs and showing how amazing of an experience that can be and is for so many African-American students and increasingly other students who are non-Black students who are attending HBCUs as well. I'm not surprised by the decline in the percentage of Black students attending predominantly white institutions, particularly those that are more highly selective, moderately to highly selective institutions, or your Ivy Leagues, for example, where for them, they really relied on affirmative action type of policies as a way of ensuring there was a little more equity in their enrollment processes.
We should probably back up a couple of steps and just talk about the importance of higher education and education in general. I've heard you speak on many occasions and talking about education as a way out of poverty, as a way to end this generational poverty that unfortunately a lot of people suffer. For many African Americans going to college, a lot of times it is the first person out of that family attending a college or a university. And so it's a very important thing. This program, Dollars and Cents, we're talking about money and we're talking about raising yourself up a couple of notches when it comes to a career. And on the flip side of that, when you go to college, a lot of people are straddled with debt. And the other big thing that was making the news was this whole Biden debt forgiveness thing that a lot of people were optimistic about, and then, bam, it hit a brick wall.
Indeed. So, interestingly, so first of all, at Eureka, our incoming class this year, our enrollment of racial and ethnic minority students increased. Our first generation students, so to your point of a lot of students being the first in their family, continues to be about 50% across our total student population. And when it comes to the debt question, I think what we know is, and all of the research suggests, that over the course of a career, a student who earns a bachelor's degree at a minimum has an earning potential of just north of $1 million more than someone who has a lesser credential or just a high school diploma.
Now say that again.
So we know
I'm still
that,
processing
that's
what, that.
Over the course of a career. So, and I think what typically happens is, you know, we all want immediate gratification. We all want to say, I earned this degree. I'm just fresh out of my undergraduate program with a bachelor's degree, and I want to make $100,000 or more. Well, that's not necessarily the reality for most. But the research suggests that over the course of a career with that bachelor's degree, that your earning potential is $1 million greater than that of a person with just a high school diploma.
Now, I want our listeners to process and marinate on that for a little while, those of you who are listening. Essentially, what the president of Eureka College is saying is that there is great economic value in going to a college and university.
It is. And what that means, though, when you try to balance that out, though, with the debt question, I think sometimes what we have to do a better job of is we have to continue to beat the drum with students about the amount of money they actually need in order to fulfill the obligation of paying for college. There are instances where there are loans that sometimes they may qualify, a student may qualify for twice the amount that they actually need to attend that institution. And sometimes they decide, I'm going to get the whole amount. Now, our financial aid office, as well as some other colleges and universities I know, do a better job of instructing and educating students that financial literacy piece with the student and families, especially when you have so many first generation, and saying, even though you qualify for $20,000, you only need $10,000. And if you get the $20,000, this is going to be the most expensive $10,000 loan you will ever probably receive. So I think there's a lot of the educational components that still remain. And then the second piece that creates such a debate around the value proposition of earning a college degree is the fact that for a long time, colleges and universities, bachelor's degree granting colleges and universities weren't doing the best job of listening. We weren't listening well to what employers needed. We weren't listening well to the changing demographics of student population and what they needed. So now you have colleges like Eureka and so many others
retooling,
who are absolutely retooling, offering different types of degree pathways, offering different types of programs that are more those in-demand programs, earning above a living wage, where there are workforce gaps across our region, the state, and across the country. And so when you have those kinds of conversations starting to take place and everybody at the table and listening, then I think we have a better opportunity of answering some of the concerns or addressing some of the concerns that people have around debt and what students actually leave with versus what they need in order to complete whatever their career path may be.
So what's hot and what's not? I talked to your Veep some months ago about a very unique program you had at Eureka where you had free tuition for someone who wanted to get into the IT field, specifically when it came to cybersecurity.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that IT is hot.
It is. IT is consistently across industry one of the most needed, as stated by employers, gaps that they have to fill or something that they need to have their incumbent employees and workforce upskilled in.
And when we talk about cybersecurity, I just saw on the news, what was it, yesterday or day before, where MGM casino and another casino in Las Vegas got hacked.
Yes.
Some Russian hackers like just shut down these two big casinos in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just a horrible situation.
Absolutely. They can't, because those companies then are, you hijacked is the right word. So recently, one of the southern Illinois, closer to the St. Louis area healthcare system, same thing, ransomware attacks. And so when you have to have people, that cybersecurity certificate is critical and is one of those things where we're listening, and where Eureka College, Illinois Central, Bradley got together, talked to employers. They said, hey, we have this IT gap, and what can you all do? Cybersecurity is one of our pieces at Eureka College, and that program is going very well. In fact, the next cohort of cybersecurity begins on November 7th, and you're right, it's free. It covers all of our Tri-County region and beyond, and if you live in or work in the region or one of those counties, you can reach out to Eureka College, sign up for that six-month cybersecurity certificate, and you can do that without paying any tuition.
But you have to be committed to it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the flip side of the interview in terms of what you have to bring to the table in order to be successful. Nobody's going to hand you anything. Well, in this case, it's kind of halfway being handed to you because the tuition is free. But this is a six-month commitment. These classes are a little intense. You got to devote some time to study it. You got to know your stuff in order for you to be successful.
That's right. You do. Now, you don't have to have any advance or prior experience. You just have to have the interest and the passion and the understanding, quite frankly, that this is an opportunity of a lifetime. If you need a post-secondary credential, or if you already have a post-secondary credential and you want to reinvent yourself, or you just want something to fall back on that you think is going to be something that could maybe be a transitional position that you have after retiring from a long career, you come with that passion and you come with that focus, and you will leave with a certificate that may land you in a position where you can begin earning $60,000 with that certificate in hand.
Out the gate,
working at a help desk at some of the companies here locally, like Pearl Technologies, and in those types of places that hire people for their help desk, you have the opportunity to advance and accelerate that career path over the course of, you know, a year or a short period of time once you have that cybersecurity certificate and get your foot in the door. So you're right, nothing comes for free. But in terms of dollars and cents, which is what you focus on, there's nothing better than free. And when you know that it's something that's going to be high quality enough, that's going to get your foot in the door and maybe set you on a path to success and to be able to earn above a living wage.
I'm told healthcare is also hot, along with something that I didn't think was hot, and that is the teaching profession, that there's a shortage of teachers. And so what do you have in that regard?
Eureka always had, we have always historically had a very strong education program. And our program includes everything from a special education licensure program that we offer to actual bachelor's degrees in elementary, middle grades, and secondary education. And there's always a teaching shortage. There always seems to be a teaching shortage, and I understand that. And so that's always been one of our strong programs and a really strong pipeline for Eureka. A lot of our students who come out of the education program, they stay within the region. They go back to their home cities. They go back to their towns where they graduated from and give back in that way as teachers. So that program is very strong. And you're right, that's a hot program. And I think it always will be. I think what we need to figure out there is how we keep the pipeline stronger. And if there are ways that we can reach back. So the Secretary of Education, Secretary Cardona, was in town a week or so ago. And he talks a lot about this career technical education, CTE is the focus. And what it really requires and demands and compels colleges like Eureka to do is to ensure that when we're looking at ways to finish degree programs and pathways, that we are constantly reaching out to K-12, that we're constantly keeping our finger on the pulse of what employers need, and that we're able to develop programs that really meet the needs of the community.
And you put some of the college students in the classroom before they...
Absolutely.
They're just not
correct.
The classroom the whole time. They do what we used to call a practicum.
They do. They do. They go through their student teaching. They do all of those things over the course of their year. So and a lot of them are working in the Peoria Public School District, you know, and other surrounding districts here. And so they're offering that support. And at the same time, it's mutually advantageous because they're, you know, they're getting the training that they need to be strong and effective teachers. And they're helping the strong and effective teachers who are hopefully in those classrooms already.
We want to remind our listeners, this is Dollars and Cents on WPNV. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. And we're talking with Dr. Jamil Wright, the president of Eureka College. She was in Peoria recently, the keynote speaker at a Women in Leadership conference that was held at the Paradise National Association of Women Business Owners and Women in Leadership, sponsoring this Pathways to Success seminar forum. And, you know, I walked in there and I had to deliver something to someone and I felt very estrogenic. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was a lot of estrogen in the room.
Absolutely.
Women power.
Amazing feeling.
Yeah.
High energy.
Yes, it is. What was your spiel to the attendees?
It's actually very appropriate for your show and your listeners when we talk about dollars and cents. Because the purpose of my message was to begin having a conversation and getting support from leaders. And I think everyone, no matter their title, could have those leadership qualities and participate and support in changing the ways in which we view work, changing the very definitions of work. We are in a burnout state. Many of employees across industries, across companies, no matter where you go and no matter where you look, they're burned out. We're all exhausted. And we've not done the best job of ensuring that we take care of ourselves, so that self-care model. And we've not done the best jobs either of making sure that we're taking care of our teams. And as a result, the productivity suffers. The ability to be innovative suffers. And those are the very things that you need in order to be a successful business, whether you're for-profit or not-for-profit. That is about dollars and cents.
So, but let's talk philosophically about that, because on the one hand, we hear people saying stuff like, you have to be passionate, you have to have that drive, you got to get up early and burn the midnight oil, and that's the way to success. But then on the flip side of that, that sounds like burnout.
It does. That is the very definition. You're literally putting people on a pathway, not a pathway to success, which is the name of the conference.
A pathway to stress.
A pathway to stress, right? A pathway to stress, a pathway to burnout, and a pathway that we already see the evidence, the mass exodus of people, the staffing issues, people retiring at earlier ages. And so you have this revolving door of leadership and lacking the continuity needed in terms of the success of companies and organizations. A lot of that is because it's systemic. This is a systemic issue. Our country is kind of founded upon these principles that you just described, when the reality is the time does not automatically equate to the productivity.
Right.
Right. It does not. It's the way you spend the time.
And I have friends in other countries and people who visit other countries, and Spain, France, Mexico, and they talk about the work day, first of all, is not 8 hours. The wages are higher, and there's a lot of latitude with regard to flex time, maternity leave. Hey, it's 11 o'clock and I gotta take my wife to the thing or my kid to someplace or whatever, and I'll be back in the office at 3. Mm-hmm. And there's the siesta kind of thing where, you know, and some of these companies bring in masseuse folks and have a yoga class in the middle of the workday, which sounds totally weird to us here in America, because we're just grinding
absolutely
all the time.
Absolutely.
But are these the kinds of things that you're talking about?
Those are the absolute exact things that I'm talking about. And Generation Z is testing us. Their definitions, the way they contextualize work is not at the center. And I think that's what we're seeing finally, kind of chickens come to roost kind of moments in some companies and industries, is for so long, because it's so normalized, you don't even know it until somebody starts to question and press upon it a little bit more and start asking questions and interrogate it. And so you have work at the center of your life, and everything else, your family, yourself, everything else revolves around work. That's an unhealthy approach. And so what, it's those things that you described, and it's also being able to say out loud in public, it's okay to focus on yourself. But that is not a weakness. It's not a weakness to say, and it's not okay. It is not okay to apologize for vacation, for taking a vacation. It's not okay to have to apologize for taking a day off. And that's the type of culture that we've created. And I'll be the first to tell you, as I did in my remarks today, that I'm still working on it. I'm on a journey and a continuum of growth in this area. And I am also on that same continuum of growth and journey as I try to figure out what that means for the institution that I lead.
Now, I used to be a union president, as you may know, and I used to get on union members when they would call in sick and they would apologize, like, hey, I'm sorry, I got to take a day off. And hey, don't apologize, you're sick. And I would sort of kind of jump on management if the question came back, well, what's wrong? Well, first, there's a HIPAA thing there.
Right.
You don't need to. You don't. You
None
don't need
to. None of your business.
Yeah, exactly. None of your business. You don't need to know. As a matter of fact, kind of funny. We came up with a list of 10 things to say if the employer asks what's wrong. Mm-hmm. There were outlandish things that I can't even mention on radio.
Okay. Love to hear those off air.
But to your point, mm-hmm. you want people to not have this cloud of guilt simply because they want to feel good about themselves. Because to your other point, a worker who feels good about themselves will be more productive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the cloud of guilt and the shroud of shame has to be shed. We have to begin having more candid conversations about the ways that our corporations, our colleges and universities, and all of our other industries, companies and other industries, how we ourselves as leaders, how we care for ourselves, and again, what that means in terms of the role modeling that does or does not exist, because the way we handle things gives our employees permission to handle it as well, to take care of themselves as well. So we have to take better care of ourselves, because I'll tell you, you know, there was nothing like a pandemic to remind you that I couldn't even remember the last time I was fully present. It was the pandemic that helped me to realize I was in unfamiliar territory in my own home with my own husband and with my own daughter. And the reason I was in unfamiliar territory and didn't have a frame of reference for the amount of time I spent shut in is because I had spent so much time with work at the center. And it wasn't until I began to come out of that and realize that I think I can be more innovative, right? I can now bring that high energy, and it's not fake and pretend, but it's actual energy. And now the innovation part that's going to be required and demanded of all of us coming out of this pandemic and rebounding from it, where all of our industries have changed dramatically, we got to have people who can come in the room with a blank sheet of paper, but who are also refreshed and re-energized and feel valued, and right? That work satisfaction piece that starts to increase, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to fill that blank sheet of paper with things that don't exist.
Okay, but one little bit of devil's advocate.
Absolutely.
Pushback.
Many. There are many.
Pushback. So, but what you don't want is for a young person just out of school coming into the job being lazy and not putting forth the effort. And we've had to check some young people who it's like, okay, where's so-and-so? It's 9 o'clock. It's 9:10. It's 9:15. It's 9:30. Let's call. I didn't get an answer. It's 10 o'clock. Where were you? Oh, well, you know what? I had a headache today, and I decided I wasn't going to go. Well, you didn't even call to let anybody know. So let's not have a slippery slope to laziness.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. So this is not, there still need to be clear expectations that are set. there still have to be some standard, that just a basic fundamental standard that's met in any workplace. And in terms of even the results in your work product, those things still have to be made clear. I think there's a way that we have to come together and reconcile those things, because increasingly what that generation, maybe of what you're describing, increasingly they're talking about life work balance. And many of us were socialized into a structure and a system that is work life balance. So there have to be some ways that we bridge that gap, so that we are still getting from those who are employed in our companies what we need, including that earlier career generation.
But the old models, Jamil, you say this in your spiel, incentivized burnout, because you worked hard, you put in the extra hours, so-and-so was here until 8 o'clock, or here till 9 o'clock, or they got that thing done or whatever. And then they get rewarded.
That's right. Promoted, accolades. Absolutely.
And so you're saying, nah, that's not it.
I'm saying increasingly, if we continue to beat that drum and continue on that path, our staffing issues are going to continue to worsen. Our leadership, people are going to continue to leave our industries altogether and go to something different, or retire as soon as they possibly can. And I think we're going to continue to be in this revolving door of people and workforce gaps and trying to figure those things out. Unless and until we fix the system and that structure that has been something that all of us, that's been the foundation upon which everything has been built. To your point, so I talked about in my remarks today, IBURN. It was an acronym. And the R was redefine. We have to redefine the way in which we incentivize people who are valuable employees at our institutions and our companies. When someone's standing up in front of a group of people and talking about a person who's about to receive an award, one of the first things they say is how they work tirelessly. I'm not sure that that's a good thing anymore. All of these mental health issues, right? We haven't touched upon that. You have increasingly people who are suffering from depression and also anxiety and all sorts of other things. And I'm not saying that there's a direct linear line necessarily, because I don't have the research to support it, nor have I conducted it myself to say that there's this linear line there. However, I can say, based on my own experience and what I see at my own institution, it's something that we have to address. I know for sure that there are people who are, as you said, we exist in a burnout space, and that just becomes the norm. And unless and until you're able to separate from that, or have friends as you do, because you're so well traveled and you have friends all over the world, until you start hearing the way other countries and other people do things around work, around their notions of work, then you're so deeply steeped in it that you too will be in the sunken place, as I talked about earlier. We're all in the sunken place, where all we can do, even when we're not at work, we're thinking about work.
Right, right.
We can't sleep. So increasingly, people are having issues sleeping. Well, you're tossing and turning, and chances are there's something about work that your brain is on this little hamster wheel that is, not allowing you to sleep and rest well. So a lot of things are happening, and I think they will continue to happen, that will not allow some of our companies to thrive and flourish and survive in some instances if we don't start to, little by little. We're talking about a major cultural kind of shift here.
Well, you're talking about what some people call work-life balance, and 50-50, 51-49, 70-30. You know, most people, the work part is the 70 and the life part is the 30.
If they're lucky.
Dr. Jamil Wright, hey, I've been asking you a lot of questions. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
I would say prioritize self-care. First and foremost, it's actually, as people think that it's selfish to put yourself at the center, I offer that it's selfish not to. because the less you put yourself at the center, the more likely you are to burn out and crash. And then you're not able to fulfill any of your obligations to the extent that you need to personally with your children, other home life, other responsibilities, and definitely not professionally. So I would extend that and say we have to do better in that space. We all have to do better and focus more on that.
Well said. Dr. Jamil Wright, president of Eureka College. Hey, thanks for being on Dollars and Cents.
Thank you again for the invitation. Definitely a huge shout out to all of your listeners. And congratulations, I'll say before you wrap, to you and Denise and the Minority Business Development Center. You all have an amazing upcoming gala that is right around the corner. And the work that you all have done over the last decade or so has been absolutely outstanding and much appreciated. So just wanted to say congratulations.
All right. Thank you. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents on WPNV. Dollars and Cents airs at 9 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 6:30 p.m. Sunday. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, Not a Bank Better. Thanks for listening.